Just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray you'll take my lips and speak through them, and any words that are not of you, just take away, Lord. Amen. Sorry if my voice is going, by the way. I nearly lost it last night, so down to prayer I'm able to speak at all today. I was going to start my talk dangerously today by possibly incurring Maureen's wrath, because I was going to say I don't believe all of us are equipped to be evangelists. But don't worry, I was going to mitigate the risk by calling on the Apostle Paul's help in Corinthians 12, where he talks of each of us having different gifts. Unfortunately, when I went through the reading, it didn't talk about evangelism, so that put the kibosh on that. So what I'll say instead is, not all of us are called to be expert evangelists. But it doesn't really matter much, because I didn't intend it as a cop-out anyway. Because although not many of us are gifted evangelists, we do all have the ability to tell our own story. And if we're Christians, of course, part of that story is the difference Jesus has made in our lives. So what sometimes inhibits us from telling our story to somebody else then? Well, I think one reason may be fear. Could be fear of being misunderstood. Fear our religious knowledge isn't good enough to explain ourselves. Fear of being thought a crank. I know a long time back, I've told this story before, but I think it illustrates the point. Many years ago, I joined the Midland Bank Christian Fellowship. Now, I'd put the decision off to join the Christian Fellowship for a long, long time. I'd made all sorts of excuses, but eventually I thought, I've got to do this. And I didn't want to join because I was fairly new to being a Christian, and Christian Union seemed a bit too far. I was worried people might think I was some sort of religious nutter. Because going to church is okay, isn't it? But Christian Union is a bit hardcore. But then I decided it was okay because I didn't have to tell anybody. And that was fine for a while until some of my friends and colleagues in the Christian Fellowship decided we needed a badge. And it was a big blue badge with a gold cross with MBCF on it. And they were going to give everybody one free, so you sort of had to wear it. And again, I agonized. I agonized for a long time. Should I wear it? Because this is going to blow my cover. And my absolute worst fear, and it was my worst fear, that I'd be stuck in a crowded lift and somebody would say, "What's that then?" And I'd be mocked. In the end, I decided I should wear it. And you know, nobody mentioned it. Not for months, if not years. It was a long time. And ironically, when somebody did mention it, it wasn't a lift, but it wasn't a crowded lift. There were just one or two people. And it was a really nice and gentle conversation. I like to think I learned from that, because as the years have gone by and we come more up to date, I've recently joined a new gym. I say recently, it's probably over a year now. And I'm not quite so hesitant about sharing my faith. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't make a big thing of it. But I'm okay with bringing it up in conversation if the occasion arises. And with the project and the allotment, occasions do arise. Around Easter this year, I got into conversation with what to me is a youngish lady. She's actually probably in her 30s. And we got talking about baptisms and the like. And she was really interested in the whole faith thing. Asked a lot of questions, and we had a really good chat. So much so that the week after, she sought me out and she said, "I've just been watching a film with my boyfriend about Jesus." I think she was talking about the greatest story ever told. And she said, "I was able to tell him all the background to it." And the interesting thing is, although he's probably well in his 30s, if not his 40s, he didn't know anything about Jesus, or very little. But she was able to fill in the blanks. Now, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that makes me a great evangelist. It doesn't. And we're not going to see a vast influx of souls from the gym in here anytime soon, I don't think. But to me, that doesn't matter, because I don't see it as my job to convict people as to the truth of the gospel. I'm totally happy with leaving that to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I just see my role as telling my story, and that includes Jesus. Okay, so if fear isn't the thing that's holding us back, what else might be? Well, I think sometimes we can hold back because we simply judge people as not being interested or just not wanting to listen. It's said that we form a judgment about a person in the first few moments we see them. I've seen it being said as little as 3 seconds. And once that first impression is set, it's very difficult to change it. And it can be a barrier to us wanting to share our experiences. An amusing former colleague of mine, who I hasten to add, isn't a Christian, used to dismiss people he thought of as a bit useless as saying they're a waste of a perfectly good skin. Now, I know that sounds a bit harsh, but I found it funny. In contrast, I think people, and maybe including ourselves, may in the past have been unduly drawn to people with great charisma. But I think now with current scandals affecting politicians, not just in this country and the USA, and I won't name names, but various high-level celebrities as they are now, people are beginning to get a bit disillusioned and wondering whether some of the politicians haven't got clay feet. If we look at the surprise results to the referendum, or even the current debacle over Jeremy Corbyn, whichever side of the fence you may sit on those issues, it points to people looking for something or somebody they can trust and believe in. I was chatting to a vicar a few weeks ago now, not our Simon, I hasten to add, and it was after the referendum, and he said, "I knew we were going to leave the EU even before the vote took place." And I sort of corrected him and said, "You mean you thought we were going to leave?" And he said, "No, I knew we were going to leave." So my ears pricked up at that, as I thought, "Oh, you know, is this a message from God?" So I asked him, "How was that?" And he said, "Well, I go to the gym 5 times a week, and I could just tell by the mood of all the people there we were going to leave." People are disillusioned, and it's not just in this country. I was recently privileged to chat to a number of people from the United States, and I was surprised how similar their issues are to ours. Steve referred to Donald Trump the other day, and I know we in the country scratch our heads over the rise of Donald Trump, and let's face it, he doesn't always do himself any favours. But if you speak to grassroots Americans, they feel they're not being listened to, and they begin to get an understanding of their dilemma. One gentleman from South Carolina put it to me this way. He said, "Most of our politicians rely on wealthy individuals and organizations to fund their campaigns. When those politicians get into power, the people who supported them expect something back. You might not always like what Donald Trump says, but as a self-funding billionaire, at least you can be confident he's saying it and not somebody behind the scenes pulling his strings." May not be the full story, but it certainly made me think. It now appears that even awful dictators like Saddam Hussein are not totally without redeeming features. If we're to believe the Chilcot report, and why wouldn't we? It's said for all his brutality, at least he kept a cap on some of the sectarian violence. As I heard one Iraqi citizen say on the radio the other day, "We needed to get rid of Saddam Hussein, but what we've now got is 1,000 Saddam Husseins." If we look back at the Old Testament, there are numerous instances of God using ungodly people to fulfill his purposes, because our God has the power to redeem even the worst of situations. If the Lord can take Saul of Tarsus, who we could regard as the Gestapo chief of his time, and transform him into the Apostle Paul, then surely nobody is beyond redemption. To correct my former colleague, there's no such thing as a waste of a perfectly good skin. Everybody has a purpose. If we look at our reading today about the Ethiopian eunuch, there are lessons to be learned. Before Philip even intervened with the Ethiopian eunuch, first he listened. So he knew what was required. And we need to listen to people to find out what their concerns really are before we jump in with both guns blazing. I think it's fair to say that when Philip spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was taking a risk. He was not only taking a risk of being rejected, but he was taking a risk of something else as well, because after all, the man was an important official with a lot of influence. He was a treasurer, no less, and we all know how important they are, don't we, Leslie? The person could well have disliked Philip invading his space, and maybe even had him arrested. But Philip wasn't put off by that person's status. And instead, we have this lovely story of how the man was baptized and presumably then took his story back to all his family and friends. And who knows, with a person like that, where that would have led to. In this sermon series, Simon has been stressing that the early church isn't about plaster saints. It's about ordinary people with ordinary issues and ordinary problems. Now, there's no doubt at all that Philip was a great evangelist. It's believed that he took the gospel to Asia, but he wasn't responsible for spreading the gospel, nor were the other apostles. In those days, they wouldn't have had the reach, they wouldn't have been able to get to that number of people. No, it was ordinary people going about their daily business who heard about Jesus from the apostles, accepted him into their lives, and were so impressed with the change that it made, they told their friends and families. Don't believe God wants us to be anything that we're not. For the most part, the gospel was spread by fishermen, carpenters, housewives, carers, just doing what they'd always done, but with a new emphasis and purpose. And I think we can do that today, whether our roles in management, information technology, it's putting these lovely flowers in the church, it's cleaning the church, we can witness to God through that. My Bible notes from the 8th of July say this: our responsibility is to lovingly present the truth and respect the personal choices of others, just as God does. The theme of today's service is a strange encounter. For most of us, every day, we will have encounters with other people. Some of those encounters may be strange, but most of them will be ordinary. However, if we let him, Jesus can take our personal story and make some of those encounters extraordinary for the other person, and possibly even change their lives. Amen.